Praise God. All right. We go to John chapter 11. 11:11. That's one date in history that I know exactly where I was. 11:11:11. I was doing a wedding. They specifically chose that date just to be cool, because it was cool. 11:11:11. And the beaches of Delaware is very cold. But here we are in a story, different place, different time, but very applicable to our lives today. Somebody's sick, they die, there's great sorrow, and Jesus is going to teach us great things through this. He's going to cause us to rise up in that trusting of Him, in that belief of Him, even in the most difficult of situations. Anybody ready? You need to do jumping jacks? Run around the building? Work the pancakes off? These things said He, and after that He said unto them, Jesus spoke these things, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Jesus is talking about Lazarus being in a place, a state, that's really not death as we understand it, as some people might understand it, as a final thing, that it's over, there's nothing after that. So I like it how Jesus phrases it. Paul will pick up on this in Corinthians. When he talks about our resurrection, he will describe the saints, the Christians that have died, as they are asleep. And that's not just soft pedaling around a difficult issue. That's not trying to say something positive in not addressing reality. No, that is the reality. That is the reality. When a Christian is done with his tent, he basically goes to a sleep state from our perspective. From their perspective, the one that's passing and is done with his tent and is shedding it off, their body dies. Immediately, they're in the presence of the Lord. So the difference is time. We're bound in time here. We can't move time. We can't move the clock. We can try to play with it. My wife does that. Gretchen will move the clock 10 minutes ahead, and that helps her get to work early, but it doesn't really change the time. We are kind of bound in that time, in the tick-tock of the clock. But once we shed this body, this material, we are free from that. Speaking of freedom this morning, one thing we're going to be free from is the bondage of time. Time becomes our servant in eternity. Time becomes our servant. It's the servant of God. God isn't under time. It's not this dominion over God. It's hard to think of it that way. We live in a world that we try to put God in a certain box, and God is underneath all these things. Time is over God, and the medical doctors and everything are over God. And we get things backwards. No, God has dominion over all. He's the creator. Okay, so just keep Him on top of everything. Every situation, even death here, you need to keep God on the top of it. He's over the top. There isn't just all this wide space like, oh my goodness, what happened? There's no hope. No, there is hope, because above everything, even the worst situation, the most fearful situation, there's always God over top. He has dominion over everything. We get a compartmental kind of mentality where it's like, okay, now I'm at church and now it's the God thing, and then I'm at work and it's my boss and he's the one that's over me and it's that thing. Then at school, it's the teacher and the guidance counselor, and that's the dominion there. No, there isn't a mixture of kingdoms. There's only two. There's God's kingdom, and there's everything outside of God's kingdom, which includes Satan's kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, man and his kingdom, all that stuff out of that all belongs in the kingdom of darkness. And then you have God's kingdom over everything, even the kingdom of darkness. So praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that we can come to you knowing that, Lord God, that it's not a maybe, it's a yes and amen, because we're speaking to the right one that's ultimately in charge. So these things He said to them, Lazarus is sleeping. We talked about trust, as Jan was mentioning last week. We're going back into that as we go through this chapter, because it's about trusting God when we don't have control. In a situation, we don't have control of situations like this, and so it's about having trust in those times. Freedom was a lot of the verses about freedom today. When we're trusting God, we find ourselves in a much freer place. When we're trusting in God, we're in a free place. Praise God. Freedom, remember, is not about what, it's about who. And we opened up this morning with that verse about freedom that came from a few chapters ago. Verse 31 and 32 of chapter 8, Jesus said to them which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. My word, my disciples." It's about a who. As soon as you separate the word of God from the who, it becomes death. And that's when it becomes legalism, and it becomes hocus pocus, name it and claim it, the prosperity gospel. As soon as you separate the who from the what, it becomes weird. And you have weird doctrines and winds of doctrines and all sorts of things. So keep that in mind. Listen to this one more time again. Come on, Caleb, have a seat, buddy. You do fine. You won't die, buddy. You're going to do fine. I've been in your spot a lot of times, all right? You're going to do fine. It's part of the discipline, becoming a soldier. Caleb, it's part of the discipline about becoming a strong soldier and a young man. I remember thinking of that when I was in your position. In fact, I'll sit there right now. Just remembering now. Wanting to be outside, wanting to go crazy, and it's like, I've got to be disciplined. I've got to be disciplined. I've got to do this. I've got to focus. Because this is so important. And that was part of my training going forward. Part of my training to be a man eventually. And instead of a goofball like a ping pong going all over the place, it was part of the discipline of my life. And I was thinking to myself as I was sitting there being a soldier. I'm a soldier and I'm going to get tough because of this. It's part of my training, is being still. And I went to a Catholic church. You want to talk about rough? You had kneel down time. Get up. Kneel down. Yes, sir. It was that, she remembered. That was my training. All right.
So there was a lot of discipline in the Catholic church, and it's healthy for you. It's healthy for you to try to sit still and focus. I know it's really hard, and I sympathize with you. You guys, you'll live through it, and you'll be better for it. Amen. Glory to God. Listen to this. Take your Bible. Take your Bible. Take a good look at it. Hold on to it. Know it's more than a what. There's a who associated with this what. We're going to get in trouble. There's deception coming our way. We're in the end times and the latter times, and there's going to be winds of doctrine coming even more frequently. The waves of that wind of doctrine are become more intense and more frequent. How do we resist this? Not just holding on to the Word of God and Bible, but holding on to the who of the Word. It's the Word of God, and it's the Word from God. It's a who and a what. What is the word, the material, the words you're reading, and the who associated with it. Very important. Don't separate the two. I'm telling you, it's coming at us. It's coming at you at the school, at work. It's going to come at our church. It's coming at us. The challenge to separate out the who from the word. When we cling on to this who, we find freedom. Freedom is in the who. The truth is the who. It's Jesus Christ. When we separate Jesus and we start taking Bible verses and turn it into the prosperity gospel, just say this, and it becomes magic tricks. It becomes hocus pocus. It's about a living, loving relationship with God. Always our eyes are focused on Him, and He's breathing His words into us as our very food. Very important, guys. This is where you're going to find freedom. This is where you're going to be set free from the things of the world. As Terry shared, I believe, as well, as Christy. Everybody was sharing about freedom today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Verses 12 through 15, then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll do well." Yeah, if you sleep, you probably feel better in the morning. Ever go to bed and your kind of stomach feels weird or whatever? You get up in the morning and you're kind of all better, you know, it just kind of went away. And so his disciples are thinking physical sleep, and
Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent that you would believe. This is about believing before, during, and after. It's not just like, okay, Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and like, wow, I'm going to believe now. Yes, that's there, but it's also leading up to that. Remember, he waited a period of time before he got there. Why? Because he wants to stimulate their belief before, during, and after. I tell you what, the real time is in the what? Is in the waiting. The real time of growth and faith, the real stuff happens before the miracle happens. We want to wait till the firework goes off and then my faith is going to go through the... No, it won't. It's going to be developed during the training exercise. It's going to develop during the waiting period, during the uncertain time. Where is Jesus' time? That's when your faith is going to be strengthened. So before, during, and after, that you may believe, verse 15 says, underline that, put your spotlight there. Highly valued in the kingdom of God is believing. Jen, you were sharing about that this morning, and it isn't a snap of the finger and just believe. No, that is the pinnacle of the Christian faith every single day for us. No one ever arrives. It's a mountain that we climb every day to get to a place of resting and believing in God. Sometimes it comes quickly, and sometimes that day is really hard. And it's hard to get to that place of resting and believing in the Lord. Hebrews 4 talks about striving. It's kind of an oxymoron, meaning two words that don't go together very well, like jumbo shrimp. Talks about striving to enter into the rest. Striving, working out, man, duking it out. What? What? Why? So you can rest. Rest, you mean rest in your bed? No, rest in God. Trust in Him. Trust in His strength. Trust in His ability, His dominion over the situation. Wait a minute, I could have had victory 10 seconds in then, if that's what it's all about, His strength. You got it. Now you're getting it. Now apply it every day. That window of opportunity in the different situations will get smaller and smaller. It'll take you less time to get to that place where you're resting and trusting. Or else you'll be rusting. I've done a lot of rusting in my life. You can see the age lines. You know what happens. It's harder, depending on what the situation is. It's like, oh yeah, I can trust Him in this situation, but not this one. God certainly doesn't have dominion over here. Yes, He does. I was sharing with Gretchen yesterday about our trip to Haiti. Went to see Maddie and Mindy over there. They've been over there for months. That was a huge challenge for me, never being out of the country. Never being somewhere where you can't dial 911 and have somebody come serve you and help you, you know. 911 that, you know, I'm getting beat up. No, but the cops will probably take advantage of you there in Haiti. You know, I don't know if I should call them because I don't even know if they would show up. If they did, they'd probably take advantage of you. I don't know. But, when you have complete corruption and there's nothing there, that was a challenge for me. I didn't realize it till I got there. It's just like I felt like I don't have control anymore. I'm in a situation where I can't call 911. I can't call on these authorities. I don't have this government dominion over me. Wait a minute. Have I been putting so much trust in the American government and the local government and all that stuff that I've lost out of growing somewhere with God? Yes, I did. And I'm sorry to say it. I'm embarrassed to say it. I was a nervous Nelly over there for a little while, first couple of nights. Couldn't sleep, you know. I've got these people with me. You got Mark's daughter, you know, Mark, better bring her home, you know, just feeling those kind of things, and got my own family there as well, and that kind of stuff, and man, I'm feeling it. Do you really trust in God over here in this fifth world country, five and a half, you know, it's pretty rough over here, a lot of people living in shacks. We were at the restaurant with Simon yesterday, just waiting to pick up the kids there, and there's a couple of houses by, and I said, that's a Haiti house right there. And Sim's like, which one? Is that one right between the houses there? That little tin shack that's about 10 by 10? Yeah, that's a Haiti house right there. Naked kids crawling on the ground. You're walking on the trail, and And then a naked kid just crawls right across the trail, and it's like, wait a minute, call social services. Wait a minute, you know, no, that's normal. You know, God, you have dominion here, even in this land. Yeah, Paul, I'm going to teach you how to trust me here, Mr. Fancy Preacher Pants. You're going to learn how to trust me in this situation. So the things that come at us all the time, they have different shapes, they have different faces, they have different appearances. But they all challenge us in the same way. Will you trust God in this situation? No, I won't, is the first reaction. No, I've got to have control. Release that control, even in the face of death here. Relinquish our controls unto the master driver here, the one that should be the pilot in our life. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Sleep, I think, is a cool term, just to get back to that a little bit. That Jesus using that term and Paul using that term as well, because it's kind of a detachment from the physical. So it is a neat parallel how that's used, but it is the reality for a Christian. We do not die. We just go on. We move. Our address moves. Our home location moves. Our hometown does. In fact, the reality now that is around us is more like a dream compared to God's reality and His kingdom. We have the flip going on in our mind. We think of spooky images and ghosts and things you could see through and in heaven and stuff like that, kind of a dreamy place, but just the opposite's true. This is less real than His kingdom is. His kingdom is eternal. These things are very transient down there. I'm reminded of that every time I see my kids' pictures from long ago. That's where Tony go? The 2-year-old Tony's not there anymore. You know, things change down here. It's very transient. It's like a dream down here more than it is real compared to the kingdom of heaven where we're going. So we're going to reality, the ultimate reality. Cool to think about it that way. So that's the topic today. We're in that chapter of 11, where we're going. Job confronted that. And when God talked to Job, and Job was like going through all of that stuff, getting the log removed out of his eyes so he could see God, one of the things that God said to him was, have you been past the gates of death? Do you know what's on the other side, Job? I do. I know what's on the other side. God knows what's on the other side. So He even has dominion over all of that. Thank you, Lord God. Verse 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, that means twin, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that you may die with him. That we may die with him. Sounds very noble. Sounds like Peter almost, you know, fire ready, aim, whatever, just, you know, ready to go. And go die if that's necessary. And that's a cool thing, I think, though, is, you know, Jesus doesn't react or comment on that, so we're kind of left a little open to interpret that. But I think it's a cool thing of the believer to have that. Like, I don't really care if this is the last day I'm here on this earth. I know where I'm going. And to have that more than just working in the head, to have that really working in the heart, it sets you free. It really does. I'm not protecting my life. I'm not fearful anymore. You know, it's just like, well, what if this happens? And what if this happens? And lions and tigers and bears and are like tin man clinking down the road, you know, of life. You know, just it's not what it's supposed to be. And we're set free. When His perfect love sets us free in that situation, in that day, we're climbing into a place of more and more faith. And it is a climb. We're going to a place of more and more rest and trust in God. Amen. Let's go die with Him. I like that. Then when Jesus came, He found that He had been laying in the grave 4 days already, it says in 17 there. Now Bethany was near unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. That's just a couple miles. So this would be a retreat from Jerusalem. Jesus knew this household, Lazarus, Mary and Martha, good friends, good people. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Lazarus is the one that died. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. But Mary sat still in the house. Two sisters, quite a story here. You've heard of the story where they're preparing, Martha's preparing for Jesus, the meal, and that's the classic one. This is a very important story too, comparing Mary and Martha, because there's a lot here in their personalities
in the differences and how God uses them and how things are seen in that light. The truth that comes out of that. Martha running right out to Jesus, but Mary sitting still in the house. Mary represents waiting on the Lord right here. She represents the proper position of waiting on the Lord here. Martha is going to confront God. And we see that in verse 21 coming up here. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died, would not have died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother will rise again. Giving her truth. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection again. Doctrine, what? Material versus who? Look at it. She says, she's given him doctrine. I know resurrection is going to happen on the last day. He's saying, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Keep those two things together. Truth, doctrine, the Bible, and who? Jesus is. You want an encounter with Jesus when you open up the scripture. I'm getting more bullets to fight my friends, you know, about their opinions about God and stuff like that. And I'm getting this or that from this. No, have an encounter with the who when you open this book. Very important. I am the resurrection, Jesus said here, and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? She says yes, which is good. But she's still at that level of the what. You'll see that come out through this chapter. She's still not quite getting that. That Jesus is the Word. He is the Word. He is life. He is the resurrection. He is freedom. He is truth. It's a who. She's not quite getting that. Mary gets that. And the big difference in contrast between these two believers, one has gone a lot further down the track, and that's Mary. She's got it. She gets it. It's a who. It's Jesus. But at least she's come to this conclusion in agreement with him. In verse 27, she said unto him, Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So it ends right there. You're going to see some things, some more things come from her, kind of like, yeah, but still bringing God, Jesus, down to that level of her doctrine and her understanding of things and not being set free. So look at it this way, folks. Look at it this way. Between these two people, who are you and where are you at? Are you Martha or are you Mary? Martha takes doctrine and tries to bring it into belief. So you see her doing that. Doctrine unto belief. Do you believe? Yes, I believe. Here's the doctrine. Nothing's been done. No one's raised from the dead. Nothing's moved. All's been established is doctrine. She could start a church now. Martha's good. I'm good to go. I'm going to preach Jesus and about the doctrine. Mary, you can think of the baton being handed off to Mary. Doctrine unto belief. Now belief unto trust. This is a new level of faith. This is where we need to be as believers. Believing unto trusting God. Not believing just to have my doctrine perfect and someday I'm standing before Jesus. I got it figured out, man. Look at this. I got it figured out. I got the, it's pre-tribulation and I've got this and how you created the world. There wasn't a gap there. I didn't go for that. And this thing and salvation and justification and all, you know, all of this and you think that's what it's going to be about? We're going to look in the face of Jesus and those fire that's going to come out of his eyes. We're just going to fall in love with him forever and say, this is the one I've been hearing. It's a voice I recognize. It's about a person. It's about a who. It's about relationship with God. Just one more time, folks.
Doctrine unto belief is Martha, and that's where it stops. Mary takes belief unto trust, and she has enough trust to wait on Jesus. Wait back at the house. I'm waiting on the Lord. Until when? Until he calls me. God's timing. Not trying to force something, running right out. God, why weren't you here demanding something from God? And this is the situation now. God, you need to act right now, and this is what it is. Waiting in the house. God's perfect timing. That's trust. She's not rusting back at the house. She's trusting. Waiting for God to call her, and he does. Verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master has come and calls for thee. And somewhere in that interchange, Jesus says, bring Mary out. As soon as she heard that, as soon as Mary hears that, now she doesn't delay. There's no like, oh, okay, oh, Mr. Big Potato showed up, okay. I'll just take my time. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. God's timing, when he says go, when the green light's on, don't delay. Go for it. Go in that full 100% trust of God. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. There's your Mary Martha contrast right here. Keep in mind that Jesus loves both. And it says that somewhere in verse 3 or 4 there, that Jesus loves both of them, all of them, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. So it wasn't like God hates one of these girls and loves the other more, and there's some kind of measurement going on there. One seems to be a further down the track in the relationship with God, that's all. But he loves them both. Don't get condemned today. Now Jesus was not yet come into town. He's still a little bit outside of Bethany, but was in that place where Martha met him. It's like she's like a linebacker came out. This is like, boom. Then the Jews which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary rise up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goes unto the grave to weep there. Mary ran hastily. I love it. It's just chock full of beautiful truth. The Jews are following Mary out to see Jesus now. Something's going to go down. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, and interesting, they didn't follow Martha out. You know, I don't know if she's the kind of person that you see that personality of being so nervous all the time about, you know, what God isn't doing that it makes her difficult to be around. You know, tell Mary to do, you know, Jesus, tell Mary to come help me. That kind of attitude is like, man, it's kind of grating a little bit. So when Mary, like Mary's like cool to hang out, it's relaxing. It's like peace out with Mary. But when she moved, you just see the people fly with her out there. And when Mary was come where Jesus was, so that's a great place to be. Folks, I ain't there. I'm trying to catch up with Mary. I know I'm a lot like Martha. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Very different reaction here. Not chin up in the air, kind of, where you been? Fell at his feet, an act of worship. In the worst of situations, when God apparently let you down and God was delaying, her first reaction is, speaking of discipline and football coaches, hit the grass! Give me 10, Paul. Good spiritual discipline, no matter what the situation is to have, I'm going to praise God. I had victory last night in prayer. I came in and I had a list before God. It's like, this is going on, this is going on, this is going on, this is going on, and I'm all irritated. The final thing before I came into the door in the church, Gretchen went like this with a guitar, bopped me in the head. A little bit irritated, God. I'm ready to give you my list. I'm ready to pray. Worship. I just thought, you know,
God, you guys heard Terry, Mark heard me. I was losing my mind. I was releasing. I was letting go. Like, Lord, I don't deserve. You know what I deserve? I thank you for what I deserve, that you would judge me someday according to your Ten Commandments. And that's cool. That's justice. That's fair. Wait a minute. I broke that one, that one, that one, that one, that, and that one? And I'm just coming to that place of working through all of this stuff that's going on and saying, and coming to that conclusion that, you know what? I deserve to burn in hell because of the justice of God. I've broken his law. I have lied. I have done all of these things up here. I deserve to go to hell. I'm not going to tell you guys that. I'm not going to point to you and say you deserve to hell. You can come to that own conclusion when you read about his perfect 10 law, his 10 commandments. You can come to that own conclusion. I already have come to that conclusion. I've looked at his perfect law and I found that I am not perfect. And in fairness and in justice, I deserve to go away from God forever. That's called hell. So in that place of my little list of pity that I'm sitting right here, I came to a place like, wait a minute, I don't even deserve to get bumped in the head with a guitar. I didn't deserve to ride down in a comfortable car with heat down to a prayer meeting in a building in a comfortable chair. I don't deserve any of this. I deserve to burn in hell. What am I doing? I love you, God. God, just take me right now. This is awesome. This is beautiful. I love you, Jesus Christ. If I have another 5 minutes, 10 minutes on this earth, God, use me. This is insane, man. I was supposed to be in hell, and I'm here serving you, loving you, loved by you. This is great. I'm a son. I'm a child. Oh, Lord, this is good. This is wonderful. Amen. So I experienced deliverance. Demons were flying all over the place last night out of me. Sorry if you guys got wet with the splashing there, Lord Jesus. His grace is splashing on me. Well, praise God. That's a good thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Fell down at his feet. Well, that's what I got out of that verse, that little verse right there. That's what I got. In the worst of situations, her brother. Folks, this isn't some guy, you know, I read in the paper, old Charlie died. No, this is your brother died. Come on, get the picture. She has enough faith to wait on the Lord. Wait till she's called, then run fast to him. Fall at his feet. That's good, man. I want to be like Mary. Don't sound very manly to me. I want to be like Mary. Let's get shirts, guys. Lord, if same response that Martha had, very interesting, but I bet it was phrased. The problem with reading this is that we don't know how the inflections came, but there's one way to express it. You could just imagine Martha saying something face to face with Jesus, kind of like ready to go at it. And how do you think it came out of Mary's mouth when she's down here at his feet? I bet it was very beautiful. Whatever came out was very beautiful. That's a great place to be, great position. So the position speaks to her attitude and how it came out, probably very different than Martha presented the exact same thing. If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. So I bet there was two different reactions there. Interesting, though, the same exact phrasing. My brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, man, she's got quite a following here. I mean, that's attractive. When that little 4 foot nun started loving on Jesus, so I talk about Sister Florida. That fourth grade kid with curly hair sitting in the back, big fro like this, was like, his eyes are popping like this. Like, there's something different about that nun up there. There's something different. She loved Jesus. She would be in tears about different things going on. Just she was moved. There was something real happening in her. And that affected me. I started following that relationship that she had. I got caught up in that. People were caught up in Mary's relationship with God. They followed her out there, and they're crying too with Mary. And guess who even cried in response? It wasn't about doctrine.
It wasn't about, yeah, the resurrection, we're dying at the end, here we go, pre-trib, post-trib, and all this stuff that he did with Martha. Do you believe and stuff like that? No, it says the shortest verse in the whole Bible, Mary got. What does it say? Jesus wept. It's wonderful to move the Lord in that capacity. To have that kind of exchange with God where you're both in tears is, I can't explain that. We don't serve a robot God made out of concrete and what do they call those things, Legos. He isn't one of those action figures. He's a living God. We're made in his image, that emotional thing there, that connection's happening. It's part of our relationship with him. Mary crying, Jesus crying. Man, that's beautiful. How much doctrine do we got there? Let's see. Let me get my glasses on. Not a whole lot, folks. Not a whole lot. Let's start a church on the Jesus wept doctrine. How about we live our lives on the Jesus wept doctrine? Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Total different reaction, environment happening now. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, comes to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. So as we finish today, just three things quickly to take away from regarding ministry here. How we can help each other, how we can love Roger, how Roger can love me, how I can love Mark, Mark can love me, and so forth and so on. How we can love each other, what ministry is all about. Jesus groaning in himself, tears coming down. Man, when you're moved to the deepest, it talks about your guts, it talks about intestines like moving. You know, that's where everything's happening down there. You know, you're moved down there. It's just a groaning happening. It's not just a few tears, you know, coming out. There's your body's convulsing. You're moved deeply. And God has moved me so deeply sometimes in my life that I understand what this groaning is. There's a deep body thing happening. So three things in ministry to take away as we finish up today. Jesus saying a command, take away the stone. We've all been given the commission. Caleb, you've been given an order from heaven. Order from headquarters. Michaela, Matthias, you've been given orders from headquarters. Especially you, Richard. You've been given orders from headquarters to go preach the Great Commission, to go into all the world, to take away the stones, to roll away the stones. That's evangelism right there. To roll away the stones, expose the dead bodies. Roll away the stones, get to them. Whether you got to get a plane and get to Haiti, whatever you got to do. Roll away the stones, get to them. Get the gospel to the people. Roll away the stones. Roll away the stones so the word of God can enter in into the cave. So this command is not going to the dead person. It's going to the people of the church. Roll away the stone. Roll away the stone, folks. What's preventing people? What's the blockage? What's the mountain in front of them? Why aren't they believing? You know it. They weren't born any different than you. They've got a hole inside of them that can't be satisfied with brownie cookies. They can't be satisfied with marriage relationships and physical things and stuff like that. They can't be satisfied. You know there's a God connection in there. There's a stone in front of it. You have an advantage. You have a military advantage. You know their weakness. They've got a huge gap the size of the Grand Canyon. In fact, it's bigger than that. It's a God-shaped size hole. Sometimes people preach it that way. Whatever it is, it's something you can't measure because it's eternal. It's got eternity attached to it. If they're not connected with eternity, they're lost. They're wandering. You've got an advantage, militarily speaking. You've got an advantage. Roll away that stone. Roll away the stone and get there. Get inside. Get inside. Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him, here it is, the yeah, but. Don't be a yeah, butter. I got to correct people sometimes with us. Yeah, but. Get your butt out of the way. Yeah, but he stinks by now. You know, the decay's happened. It's been 4 days. There isn't any CPR that's going to work. There isn't any machine of man that's going to work even today after 4 days.
of brain dead. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. Let me help you. Let's help God out. It's impossible, God. Just in case you weren't paying attention, God, it's not a possibility here. That's Martha. That's where she dwells at. Remember, doctrine until believing. That's kind of where she's at, stuck at. And then Mary is taking the believing unto resting and trusting in God completely, resting in Him, leaning on Him, not her own understanding. What do you see Martha leaning on? Her own understanding, leaning on it fully. Still taking doctrine in, still learning things, but just leaning on that old understanding. Yeah, that's what I believe. Jesus is the Son of God, He's Christ. Yeah, I can start a church. Still leaning on my own understanding. He stinks. 4 days done in the cave. That's what the situation is, God. Still believing. You're the Son of God. You're everything. Still leaning on it. What's Mary doing? Jesus wept, fully trusting in God, rolling the stone away. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. There it is, a connection back to the belief before, during, and after an episode of our life, an event of life. Every day is an event. Before, during, and after, that we would believe that God did it. Sometimes we look back and we say, oh, wow, you connect that dot. Oh, there it is. That's how God did it. This dot, he put these people in the church at this time, and he did it this, and he caused this meeting here, and he did this. He kind of worked this. I see the puzzle now. Oh, my goodness. It's beautiful. All I could see is pieces, and it was confusing before. But seeing the picture of God's grace come together, my goodness, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. Before, during, and after that, we would believe that Jesus is the one that was sent from heaven. He is God the Son. He is the Eternal One. He wants to dwell in your hearts this morning. That's the second thing. It's God that causes that. He cries for that person to come out of the grave. He calls them to come back to life. He places His Spirit into them. That's called being reborn. It's called being saved. And here it is in verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The stone rolled away. Part of that ministry is done. Now the work of God, the entrance of that gospel going in like a sharp sickle and harvesting that dead soul, bringing them out of the grave. That's the work of God, folks. That's the part we don't touch. We can't have hands on that. We can't take credit for that. That raising from the dead, that bringing that soul back to life, that is totally God. That isn't us, man. That's hands off. That's standing back and saying, wow, God causes the increase. Number three, the church body, unraveling the clothes. What a beautiful picture of ministry. God working with his people. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, praise God, with grave clothes. He's all wrapped up, and his face was bound with a napkin. Another separate piece of material up here. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Unravel that dude, you know, spin him like a top. And so there goes the guys, the ministry. They get around unraveling, going around him and getting the clothes off. And you could imagine, man, what's it going to look like? What's he going to look like? He's been dead 4 days. What's he going to look like, man? What's he going to look like? And that's the attitude of ministry. As we're unraveling stuff in people's lives, maybe we were abused when they're younger. Maybe they got this situation and got that going on. Whatever, man, we always have the attitude, man, what's he going to look like when he comes, gets out of these graves, right? These grave clothes, Lord God. So we have that attitude. We're not just like, I'm going to just help you out a little bit here. No, there's an excitement. There's a joy knowing that God is working inside of that. And he's called us to be part of that unraveling, that exposing the grace of God, that exposing that new life, encouraging them to go out, encouraging them to be bold with their faith, to stand up and be included. Praise God. Let's go to prayer this morning and just thank him for just a great illustration today, Lord God. Just a little chapter 11 right there. There it is. Waiting for you to step into. It's like a pool of refreshment, folks.
The Word of God is like nothing else. There is no movie. There is no electronic entertainment. I don't care how long Sony works at it. I don't care how long Hallmark works at it. I don't care. There is nothing as refreshing and as moving and as life-changing and transforming as the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. As long as I have breath in my lungs, Lord, that I would have the ability and have the opportunity to be able to share things like this, Lord God. And it's your truth that sets us free. You are the truth, Lord God. You are the life. You are the resurrection, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are going before us even today. You have appointments for us to walk in, appointments, opportunities for us to trust you on, Lord God, knowing that we're not alone, knowing that you are with us, Lord God, knowing that we can trust in you, Lord God, at the right time, at the right place, where you're going to call us to action. You're going to show us, Lord God. We praise and thank you, Lord. If no one has ever experienced the saving grace of what this means to have the stone rolled away and have the gospel pull you out of the grave, all you need to do is trust in his death right now. We're going to celebrate communion next week, so come prepared. We're going to be talking about that death and what he did for you, but today can be your day of salvation. Just imagine that stone being rolled away right now. That's all you need to do, is imagine that stone's being rolled away because someone's doing it. It's called a preacher. He moves that stone. He gives the opportunity. He steps into a place, creates a place where that entrance of the gospel can happen. Now watch God work. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He bled for you. For you. Not the person next to you. Don't worry about them right now. It's truly dead. But it's about what he did for you right now, because you're the one in the grave that needs to come out. Allow the entrance of that love to seep into the deepest parts of you. God loves you. He loves everything about you. He loves the hairs on your head. His thoughts towards you are a multitude as the sands of the sea. Allow that love to creep in, creep in, creep in. Allow his love right now to transform who you are on the inside. Jesus, I receive you. I'm allowing you in, Lord God. Through that darkness, I'm allowing you in. I believe in you, Lord, that you died for me. I believe that everything that I've done, Lord Jesus, is purged and clean under the blood. I believe I'm a new creature now. I'm alive, Lord God. I believe I need to belong to a church so these grave clothes, these band-aids that are stuck on, Lord God, can be peeled off gently. The specks can be removed, Lord God. But you've done the life-giving, saving work, God. I'm here to be part of that community as we edify one another. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
Set free, 7:30 tonight.